Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, we're here today, gathered together to celebrate and honor and remember our great friend and dear brother in Christ, Les Chenoweth. He was certainly a dear, sweet, loving husband to you, Sharon, and a wonderful father to Frank and Cindy and Sherry, Rick and Cindy and Sherry and Frank and Daniel, and grandfather to three children as well. And he's just a great friend and brother in Christ to all of us. And because of that, when I think of Les, I think of the word love, really, in his life. The sparkle of his eyes, the way he would greet you, everything he did, reflecting the love of Christ. And because love is the main thing about Les, that makes this day very difficult for us because he's no longer here with us physically. And that's very, very hard for us in this life. And at times like this, I like to look at one of my favorite verses there in 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul is also comforting Christians who've lost their loved ones, who've died in the Lord and gone home to God in heaven. And he says these words, "But we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." And so he teaches us here in this scripture that Christians grieve for their loved ones, and that's a good thing, but we don't grieve as people do who have no hope, because as Christians, we have a great hope, and a hope for a Christian is not, "I hope so," it's a certainty, the certainty of the resurrection, the certainty of eternal life in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And we have a day also of rejoicing because Les is alive in Jesus Christ. He believed in Christ and he was baptized into Christ. And so we grieve as Christians, but we're not going to grieve as others do who have no hope. We have a great hope today, a day that will also cause us rejoicing because the next line is we read that since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Christ. In other words, Les is not lost. He's with God in heaven. We're laying his body to the dust and to the earth for just a little while. But death can't touch a Christian. His spirit and his soul are rejoicing at home with God. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord in Christ for a believer. And he says, "For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord." In other words, with the authority of God himself, "that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And so we have a great comfort and a great hope today that Les and we in Christ will always be with the Lord, and that we'll always be with one another too. And we have a happy day of a joyous reunion coming soon, either at our homecoming to God or at Jesus' coming to earth, if he comes within our lifetime. There is a great reunion that is expected. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions. And may our God comfort you today in Jesus Christ, even as you mourn and we mourn together. But let's let God also make us rejoice. Listen to some of his promises to us right now. From a God, by the way, who cannot lie, who never lies, for whom it is impossible to lie, but fulfills his word. And he says, Jesus, when he's going to a funeral with Lazarus, he speaks to Lazarus' sister, Martha. And Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And he says to her, "Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Les believed. And so though he die, his body, yet shall he live. His spirit is right now rejoicing with God in heaven. His body just for a little while, just for a little nap is laid into the earth. Cemetery, that word means a temporary resting place where you take a nap, and then you're raised up at our Lord's coming. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his son into the world not to condemn it, that wasn't his purpose, but that the world might be saved through him. And he who believes in him is not condemned. Isn't that a beautiful word? What a comfort for us in this day. Paul picks up on that and says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, conquered death, rose again from the dead, so that we can be entirely forgiven and heirs of eternal life. The saying is sure, says Paul. For Christ died for sins, says Peter. Once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That was his purpose, that we might be able to go into the very presence of our God and Creator, who is also our Father. And God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, Satan's kingdom. And he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He just took us and put us there by grace. In whom, in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. I declare to you, knowing less and knowing his faith, he was a forgiven man, reckoned by God as righteous and loved by the God who created him, and he is even right now loved by him in heaven. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He's passed out of death into life. For this is the will of my Father, says Jesus, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have a lot to rejoice in today in Jesus Christ, for less and for ourselves. Less called in the name of Jesus Christ every day and all day. And as Beth mentioned the other day to me, that she just could picture when Les arrived home into heaven with Christ and surrounded by the angels and the saints, that our dear sister in the Lord, who recently died in the Lord as well, and went home, Phyllis Buchan, probably came up to him with a big smile, a big hug, and they gave each other a greeting. She says, welcome home, Les, welcome home. And he gave her a big kiss, darling. And God has also given us that great word of good comfort in baptism. He has this word for us, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And how many of you know that Les was baptized 7 times? Not that we need to be baptized 7 times. But as Sharon was telling me the other day, before he and Sharon met, he used to date a number of Christian girls and go to church with them. And she says, at least he was on the Christian side dating Christian girls. That was good. And every time he went to church with one of those dates of his, the pastor of whatever denomination wanted to baptize him, so he's baptized 7 times. And finally, he met a Lutheran girl who said, no, one baptism is enough. God will be faithful to that. And indeed, God is faithful to his promises to us in baptism. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. We're buried with Christ in our baptism, in which we're also raised with him through faith in the working of God. And we have, if we're united with him in a death like his by baptism, we shall also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Buried in the waters, raised up, just as Christ was, and less will be raised. Praise be to God for that good news from our Savior. For this is the testimony, says John, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. But I write this to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And therefore we can comfort one another with these words. Grieve today, but we're not grieving as other people do who have no hope. I have a great rejoicing. I'll see my friend and brother Les again. And even now he's with us. For in the body of the Christians, of the saints, there is no separation because we're all one in Jesus Christ. And therefore, let's comfort one another with those good words from our God. I also like to take a few moments today to remember and celebrate the life that God gave to Les and the great love that he put into his heart by which we were all and are all blessed. For certainly he showed Christ's love to us in every way. And number one in that was that he loved you, Sharon, with all of his heart. And we could all see that. You are his sweetheart, his dear, for whom he'd lay down his life, a reflection of Christ's love for his church. And actually, just a little while ago, you guys were at the Tuesday prayer meeting, and I asked if opened up a time for thanksgivings, if anybody wanted to thank God. And lifted his hand and says, I'd like to thank God for this woman, this sweetheart of mine, the best woman in the world with whom I could go through 60 wonderful years with, the gift of God in her. And he loved you and loves you with all of his heart. For as we said, he is alive. And you all were together at every Sunday service and Wednesday service. And our Sunday morning Bible studies are occasionally fairly sparsely attended, but I was always sure of at least two, Les and Sharon. And Les reflected Christ's love for us, his bride, the church. As we read, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, baptism, right? That he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And God gives us in Christ a white robe, a white gown, as his bride to wear, totally forgiven. And that is out of love for you. And that is reflected in Les's wonderful love for you, Sharon, as he continues to do and forever, to this day and forever, and in the kingdom. He's also a great lover of his family and his children, and he often spoke of going up to Maryland and how he enjoyed that every year and seeing you all and how proud he was of your accomplishments and rejoiced in you and loves you. And so I see him here again reflecting the Father's love for his children in the church as Les loved his children. You know what I also found him to be? A real man's man. Would you agree with that? He served 4 years in the United States Coast Guard, and he was a sharpshooter on their sharpshooting team. He often enjoyed the fact that when they faced off against the Marines sharpshooters, they won. He was also a Maryland State Trooper for 5 years, and I remember him telling me the story once of when he was transporting a prisoner somewhere, and it was a cold, snowy night. I don't know if they had to get out or push the car or something like that out of the snow. And he could see the prisoner was thinking of escaping into the dark because it was right there. And Les just lifted up his gun, and he says, you might want to think again about that. He goes, click. And he says, at that moment, the guy froze, and he could see he turned around and came in. And Les's favorite actor was John Wayne. It's true. And in fact, we see that same thing, I think, in church here, because he was always, as a state trooper, saying license and registration. And here in our church, he'd always be saying, let's all see your name tags so we can identify you, right? He carried that police attitude throughout his life. And thank you, Millette, for carrying that on today and making sure everybody had their name tags on. And he was a man's man. When he wanted to fix things, he told me, because I had a little lack of confidence in that, he says, I'd always say, if they can do it, I can do it. And he'd fix the Yazoo, our lawnmower. He fixed things around the church. He fixed my boat when we were sailing up from Key Largo, 250 miles, 5.5 days. Pete, where are you? And Pete and Les and myself, we sailed it up from there. And the engine wasn't working, but I was so encouraged and comforted that he was there to take it apart and put it back together again and see we got home safely. And I'll tell you, he was and is a best friend to me. I love him. And remember one time I told him, Les, I feel like you're my best friend and brother in Christ. And the only difference is that we were born at different times. You're a little older than I, but but we're best friends. He also had a great love for music, which God gave to him, and he used for the glory of God. He played the saxophone in high school, never had a lesson, again was taught. He said, if they can do it, I can do it. And he taught himself how to play. And he played for our Christmas caroling for years, I remember. And he'd say things to us like, don't quit your day jobs. He'd play at Heidi's every Friday night. A great sense of humor. He played for the Silvertones at nursing homes. He always had a sparkling charm as a band leader and just would draw everybody in love because he's so easy to love. But they played at nursing homes every Thursday, and he used his gifts to bless others and his great love for music. And next, he also had a great love for God's people and for his church. When I was thinking about what Les did at church, at this church, as well as the other ones, I came to the conclusion, what didn't he do? Let me just share with you some things. Les and Sharon were at every Sunday service, every Wednesday night service, adult Bible studies, Tuesday prayer hour. All these stained glass windows you see around you, he built those. He put those together. He made these communion stands on the side where we put our communion trays. He mowed the backyard, fixed the lawnmower, encouraged us to read the Psalms with Luther, to buy these books. He wanted us to know the word. The portals of prayer, he made sure we all had these in our hands. He encouraged us to read all the What About series, the teachings of the truth of God in the scriptures, which are summarized here. He did all those beautiful things. And he also had such a great humor and encouragement to each of us, especially to remember to give and be generous. He made sure our church tithes all of its offerings, at least tithes. And he encouraged us to build 10 homes for the food for the poor this last year in the Caribbean for families that could not afford a home and to provide food for them for a year. And when I think of people coming to our church and staying here, and they say, you know, I really love this church, and you want to know why I stay? And I think, was it the sermons? And then, but they say, no, it was because of Les and Sharon and Don and Shirley Norton when they greeted us. That's why we stayed. And I think, well, that's even better. Les and Sharon and Don and Shirley, to me, I always thought, I didn't tell them, but I kind of thought of them like the Flintstones and the Rubbles. Great, great neighbors and great greeters. And many people have come to our church on account of their love and greeting. And he was the head of our elders. And when Pastor Menicky introduced me to Les 10 years ago, he said, this is the chief. This is the boss. And he was. In fact, he got me here. I think Les was the one who encouraged our congregation to call a young pastor at a seminary. And though I am 10 years younger, you all older, you all still remind me that I'm pretty young, at least compared. He cooked at our Pot Bless dinners. I still see him wearing the big turkey hat. Got us our church, our front sign out there. And he had always, he made us our box here, or got us our box for our offerings for this year and how we are giving to the Lord. And it always fixed my little microphone, and here still is, it keeps falling off, but I'll glue it again or something. Went to the men's breakfast, enjoyed his bracelet by which he shared the gospel with people. He loved evangelism, and after the service, he'd always come up to me and say, good job, young fella. So encouraging to me, always hugging me and encouraging me as a brother in Christ. And last Sunday, after the service, the elders and I went over to bless him and pray with him and love him, anoint him with oil as well. And as I told him often in those days, this last week, I said, Les, I love you with all my heart. And he could barely had the strength, but he had that sparkle and glow in his eye of love. And he lifted up his arms and he says, you'd better. And gave me a great hug. And I just love him with all my heart. And God bless him. A loving man we're all going to miss very much here, though we're all still with him in Christ. And he was a lover of God and of his Savior Jesus Christ and his word. And the great news is that God himself in Jesus Christ loves Les and has saved him and given him an eternal hope. And as Les said, even when politics weren't going well, or as our health wasn't going well, or something else was going wrong, he'd say, "But as I always say, God is in control." And God is in control of his destiny. "In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." And he opens his eyes into heaven, and there his Savior is, loving him and now seeing him forever. And the good news, therefore, I share with you, while we grieve, is that we have a great hope. He's not dead. He's alive. He's with us. And we are all waiting a joyful day of reunion. "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed for us." And John says, "I saw, and look, and see it with me now, a new heavens and a new earth. For the first heavens and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. God will be with them. They shall be his people. He will be with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And we live, friends, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised ages ago, and at the proper time manifested through in his word, through the preaching with which I've been entrusted by command of our Savior. And as we conclude, let's think on Jesus' words. He says, when he was about to die, "So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And in that day, no one shall take your joy from you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In Jesus' name, amen.